The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to innercirclecomics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Doom Patrol. Negative Man. Elastigirl. Robot Man.
Someone wants the Doom Patrol reunited.
Your every word and action
is being broadcast across the planet.
Now, Monsieur Mana!
Well done, my Doom Patrol. Well done.
It is too late for you, Kaldao.
Your beloved patrol is doomed.
Hello, welcome to Waiting for Doom, the world's only podcast and, dare I say it, greatest podcast related to all things about the Doom Patrol.
Yeah, I'm Paul, and you can find me on Twitter at reading_Hicks, and we have a Gmail account for the show, which is waitingfordoom@gmail.com, which is where the emails arrive. We're on Facebook, and all our episodes are available on iTunes, or the last 25 are on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and if you want to find the rest, go to podbean.com. And we're part of something called the Inner Circle Comics Group Union.
Thing.
Thing.
Yes, you can also find us on Twitter, where you will encounter our Sentient Show Twitter account, Wilfred, which is at WFDpod.
And you're at AvantGarve.
Oh, that's correct. Sorry, if you want to contact me on Twitter, I'm at AvantGarve. Sorry about that.
And you are Mike.
I am Mike. Sorry, I'm clearly a bit forgetful this week. It's been a week. And who are you?
Anyway, this... I'm Paul. I said that before.
You did. Sorry, I'm just testing you. Jeez, so professional.
Awesome. Now, this week on the show, we're looking at where we did Infinite Crisis last week, and this week we're just going down the road a little bit into the next batch of Teen Titans issues, which followed up on some of the Doom Patrol stuff that Geoff Johns put in motion. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Mike, how was your week in comics?
Once again, a very quiet week in terms of actual comics. I have added to the pile yet to be read, so I think I'm up to about 80-something comics now, sitting there looking at me, taunting me, goading me into eventually breaking and reading them all. So I'm hoping to get
flirting
to them.
With you.
Yeah, giving me a bit of a wink, saying, come on, Mike, come and get your hands on me and let's get dirty. Sorry, it went really weird there, didn't it?
Come here, big boy. Come here, big boy.
Parental advisory for this episode, kids. So the only thing I've really read is the issues that we're going to be talking about this episode. But I did do something Doom Patrol related on the weekend. I actually got my very first tattoo of the Doom Patrol team badge from the Giffen Clark run, and I love it.
Beware, he bears the mark of doom.
Yes, so I'm very happy with the end result. I've got to go back in about 4 weeks to get a bit more of the color touched up, a bit more white in the center to make it glow a bit. I'm really happy with it. It's something I've always wanted to do. And I finally got around to getting myself inked. So, yeah. If you follow me on Twitter, I did put pictures up. Also, the artist, Matthew Clark, I got in touch with him and told him I was doing it, and he was very excited about it. And he put it up on his Facebook feed and tagged me, and lots of people thought it was really cool too. So, hey, I'm finally cool. In with the cool kids.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome, Mike.
Yeah.
You're a braver man than I. I don't like pain. I don't like unnecessary pain.
Yeah,
I had dental work recently, and that involved lots of needles in my mouth. So, yeah, so that was enough for me.
Have you recovered from the dental work?
I finally have, yes. Oh, and apart from that, if I got a tat, it would probably look like a Wookiee just because of my body hair, regardless of whatever it was.
Right. But yeah, it wasn't as painful as I thought it would be, and I just sort of zoned out as the guy was doing his work, and he was asking me lots of questions about what it was and where it came from, and we talked about comics a bit, so maybe he's listening. Hello, Lincoln from Wallet Heart Tattoo, if you are. If not, you're lost, dude. Anyway, shit, I shouldn't have said that. I've got to go and see him in a few weeks. Anyway, how was your week in comics and such?
Not much to talk about comic-wise especially, but I think we should touch back on Rebirth, because we're, you know, we said last week we're in the no man's land where we had very few details. We have a few details now, and yeah, we've done a count, and the number of Doom Patrol comics coming out of Rebirth are zero. Yes.
Damn it.
Don't worry. Waiting for Doom is not over at this point. But I did, I mean, I must say, they haven't announced creative teams yet. We know some of the creators who are going to be around, but we don't exactly know which titles they will be on. But it is a, it's actually something that I suggested on Twitter. So they obviously read my Twitter account and then said, this guy's onto something, and of did course. Exactly what I said. And that was stagger the release of books. So, you know, contain the line and then grow it.
Yes.
I'm sure that's what they did. They just went, yeah, reading Hicks, he's full of good ideas. Let's follow, you know, we'll do what he says.
Yeah.
So they're coming out with 12 books in June, and they're adding another 12 the month after, and then they're releasing another batch over fall, which is what Americans call autumn, which we call spring. Anyway, so everyone's right about that. Yeah, so I like the idea that it's going to be like Rebirth, the way that Rebirth reinvigorated Flash and Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
Saying it's, you know, a new look and getting back to what was great about things. And
The titles they've released, are there any of them that excite you at this point in time?
Nothing excites me at this age. But I reserve all my judgment for when the creative teams are associated. So, you know, I am inclined to pick up The Flash, but I want to know who's going to be doing it. I haven't been reading Flash for a couple of years now because I'm not been a fan of the direction.
Right.
So, yeah, they can get me back, but it will depend on who's on what. Right. Yeah. But I do like Tom King. Tom King is a he's signed up to DC for exclusive writing. So I'm keen to see what he will do there because, well, apart from what he's done already, but, yeah, he seems like a good writer and definitely one to watch at the moment. Hoping Suicide Squad will be good out of it.
Okay.
Finally. I do hear good things about the Tim Seeley start recently, but I wouldn't read that till it comes out in collections. Of course. You know. I'm probably not. I'm not going to be buying everything as it comes out weekly anyway. I'll certainly get that Rebirth special that leads into it all.
Yeah.
And I do like $2.99 price point. That's a good move by DC.
That's a welcome return.
If you are paying twice a month for some titles. But remember, kids, if you're only saying I'm getting three titles, if they're coming out bi-monthly, you're getting six. Just remember that. Anyway. Yeah, did you have any particular thoughts about Rebirth?
Like you, I'm definitely going to get the Rebirth special to check out, you know, how they set the stage, so to speak. I'm probably going to check out at least one of the Green Lantern titles because I've always been a fan of that series. Sort of like you, I want to see who's going to be involved. And get a bit more information out of DC as well. Because it's all well and good announcing it, but you kind of need a bit more to go on before you start handing over your money. So I am intrigued by the fact that they've reverted the numbering on Action Comics and Detective Comics as well. That's an interesting move.
Of course they would. There's a milestone, 1,000 issues coming up. So doesn't surprise me.
They've still got a way to go, though. So, like, Detective will be up to 934. So, good luck to him. I am also intrigued by the Trinity Rebirth title.
Okay.
See what they do with that. And I'll probably check out Wonder Woman Rebirth as well, because I was reading Wonder Woman with Azzarello's run, but hopped off when the Finches hopped on. So,
Do you think Trinity will be about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or do you think it'll be something else?
I would be surprised if it was not Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay, yeah that could work.
That's usually the Trinity that DC are referring to, and what with, you know, Batman versus Superman, feat Wonder Woman, coming soon to the big screen. You know, I'm pretty sure that's who they're talking about. Just a wild guess. Yeah. But hey, if they want to start doing religion comics, more power to them. That's definitely something different.
Yeah.
Hey, what's that ticking, Paul?
It's the Doom Clock, Mike.
It is indeed. So, looking at the face of the mighty Doom Clock, not a lot of change. Surprise, surprise. The last book we had was still issue 22 of volume 5, The Giffen Clark Run. Cover date of July 2011 and going on sale May 4th that same year. So, it's been 4 years and 42 weeks since the last Doom Patrol book. We're almost at the 5 year mark. Good God. The last appearance of the team was 28 weeks ago, so about 7 months ago, in two different comics. All-Star Section 8 had them cameo in a large splash panel of all the Justice League-type heroes. And Justice League United 12 had a one-panel appearance of the team, with Stargirl recruiting Robot Man to join JLU's next mission. And this week in Doom Patrol history, back in 1989, for the princely sum of $1.50 US, we saw the release of issue 21 of volume 2, the Morrison Case Run. This issue was the penultimate chapter in the four-part Crawling from the Wreckage storyline. So that was like the big change for when Morrison took over there. And it saw the team face off against the Scissor Men and deal with a book of metafiction transforming our world into the bizarre world of Orkwith. Wasn't that a head-scratcher? We discussed
I remember that well.
Yeah, we discussed this arc way back in Episode 6, like 40 episodes ago, back in February of 2015. So go and check that episode out for more details and more excited ramblings from us about that storyline. And that's it for the Doom Clock this week.
Today on Doomsplaining, we're looking at the Teen Titans Volume 3, issues 34, 35, 36, and 37. Yes, sequential. And they cover, well, they come out of what happened in Infinite Crisis. Now, there were many new Teen Titans comics, and this is technically the third volume of Teen Titans. But really, you know, if you count New Teen Titans, it's like the 47th volume of Titans at this point. Anyway, so I will take us through the first two issues. You'll take us through the second two.
Sounds good.
Sounds like housekeeping. Anyway, so issue 34. The cover date was May 2006, and it was actually released on March 15th, 2006. $2.50 comic. Not too bad. Not too bad at that point. Now, all of these issues were written by Jeff Johns, and they all had art by Tony Daniel, or Tony Salvador Daniel, as his credit said at that point. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of an inking competition on some of them. The first ones were inked by Kevin Conrad and Art T-Bear. And the first one was lettered by Nick J. Napolitano. And the colorist was Richard Horry and Tanya Horry. Coincidental two Horries. Maybe if they know each other, that makes explanatory. Blah. Anyway. Yeah, so these issues come straight out of Infinite Crisis. So Infinite Crisis ended, and these are technically the one-year-later event. So after Infinite Crisis, DC had a pause on their books and then said, everything's 1 year later, except for the series 52, which filled in that 1 year by running a series that showed what happened each week for 52 weeks. Anyway, so it's been a year since the DC event Infinite Crisis, which was particularly rough on the Titans. Superboy gave his life stopping the deranged Superboy Prime. Panther was decapitated. Starfire was lost in space. Herald, who's Malcolm, was seriously injured, and Cyborg was badly damaged. As the story opens, his body sits dormant in Titan's Towers, with his senses briefly registering the comings and goings of the team. One notable departure is Beast Boy, Gar Logan, who apologizes to Cyborg, but they need his help. Sometime later, Cyborg comes back online and soon meets the new team members, the former villain Ravager, daughter of Deathstroke, and the entirely unfamiliar Kid Devil and the twins Wendy and Marvin. Naturally, there's a violent misunderstanding, which So they start fighting, but then Robin appears and calms Cyborg down. Robin lets Cyborg know where everyone is now, concluding with Gar has rejoined the Doom Patrol. Cyborg asks Robin, where's Wonder Girl? Let's find out. Wonder Girl is trying to stop a San Francisco Star Labs robbery by a young, dark-haired, shape-changing villainess who's Gemini from the Beast Boy miniseries. Yes, so daughter of Madame Rouge. Mm. And she is in radio contact with one Malar and declares, long live the Brotherhood. So we get a sense that who's behind the scenes? The Brotherhood of Evil. Mm. Mm. So the Titans on the scene, Kid Devil, Ravager, Cyborg and Robin, they show up to help, but Wonder Girl starts fighting with Ravager naturally and Gemini escapes. And Wonder Girl leaves in a huff because she has quit the team and it's angst time and she doesn't want to talk to anybody. So anyway, back at the tower, Cyborg contacts Dayton Manor, which is the headquarters of the Doom Patrol in Prague.
Yep. Mm.
Yep. And he wants to ask Gar back. He gets a recorded video message from former Titan Bumblebee, Karen Beecher. Meanwhile, Robin slips away to his secret lab where he is attempting to create a clone of his dead friend, Superboy. Dun, dun, dun. So what do we think of this, Mike?
I thought it was a good setup issue. I think it kicked things off really well. It kind of filled in a few gaps, and I thought the interactions between the previous members and the newer members, Ravager and Kid Devil, I thought they were all well done. I really liked it. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I like the device of Cyborg sitting there and his senses come on and off and he's seeing different snapshots of what's happening in different time periods, which sort of fill in the jump in a nice way. It's a pretty clever device by Geoff Johns. Mm. The art by Tony Daniels is pretty dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, good fight scenes and explosions and, you know, all that sort of stuff that you like in comics.
Yep.
We're seeing, despite all the changes, not everyone's coping. Like Robin is, you know, off the deep end trying to get Superboy back in one form or another.
I actually found that really interesting that that's what he was trying to do, unbeknownst to the rest of the team in his secret lab. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the cover is Tony Daniel Masterpiece, which shows the new team, which is Wonder Girl, Ravager, Robin, Kid Devil and Cyborg. They're all standing on the rubble of the Statues of Fallen Titans, which is interesting. Yeah. Anyway, we want to see more of what's happening with Beast Boy and the Doom Patrol, don't we?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, so in issue 35, we find that in Prague, Gar is astonished to get Cyborg's message and see him operational again. Back in San Francisco, Robin returns to bed after a late night unsuccessfully cloning Superboys. Don't you hate it when it doesn't work out? Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. Wonder Girl sneaks into the tower to access files on the Brotherhood of Evil, but sets off the alarms. And after a brief scuffle and some angsty angst, the teens are jetting off to New York to confront the Brotherhood. And in this case, the Brotherhood is Elephant Man, Warp, Goldilocks and Plasmus. So we've got Warp and Plasmus have been seen in the Titans before. I don't remember Elephant Man and Goldilocks.
No, they were new to me as well.
Yes. So. No, Elephant Man is the one who looks like an elephant.
Right. Okay.
And Goldilocks is the one who looks like Goldilocks. So.
Right. Good. I was on the right page there.
Yeah. So anyway, as the team engage the Brotherhood to prevent them stealing, so they're stealing tech, Kid Devil gets too close to the radioactive Plasmus, who pulls his ribs open in a fairly graphic, revolting page, and leaves him in a critical condition as Warp teleports the Brotherhood of Evil out of there with the stuff they came for. So paramedics arrive and they're struggling to treat the demonic kid and his mystically challenging super hot physiology. And then the Doom Patrol appear, too late to stop the villains, but in time to take care of Kid Devil. The Doom Patrol, which is a nice logo in their font, as the chief says, will take it from here. So the Doom Patrol we see in this scene are Chief, Robot Man, Negative Man, Beast Boy, Vox, and Elastic Girl, and Bumblebee. So, some continuity changes in place there.
Just a few.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's good to see the Doom Patrol back.
That's a great last page, yeah.
It is, yeah. And they're you know, they're doing a cool pose.
Of course you do. He doesn't really have an action chair, the chief, but, you know, he's looking cool there too. So, yeah.
So they all arrived on the scene at once to sort of stand in a pin-up. So, and considering one's in a wheelchair, you thought some of them would get there first, you know, spring into action. Geez. But no, they all arrived at once.
Yeah, yeah. I'm assuming because Vox teleported them there.
He's a teleporter, is he?
Well, he does that in the next issue.
Okay, cool.
What do you think of 35?
I'm intrigued. I like the look of Robot Man. He's kind of a good compromise between his previous versions, where he's kind of bulky, but he's got the regular Robot Man head, and he's got a slightly different design. It's like a diamond-shaped communication device on his chest now. Black undies. Elastigirl looks a bit like a sullen teenager. A
little bit, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's good to see the red and white back with the, you know, the thigh-high boots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, Tony Daniel draws a more sort of animalistic-looking Beast Boy. He's kind of got hairy arms, a little bit more threatening-looking than usual.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm involved.
Cool.
So do you want to take us through the next issue, Mike?
So, yes, opening up in issue 36 of the Titans, we open up with Brain and Mala in Paris talking about their plans. And, of course, the Brain says, you know, what he's out for is revenge, my sweet Mala. We will kill the Doom Patrol and everyone they know and love. Mm. So he hasn't changed his MO much, really. So, yeah.
It's keeping the romance between them from the Morrison issue.
Which was a very nice touch. Actually, there's a lot of nice touches that goes back to previous Patrol continuity in this, which I really enjoyed. So we cut away to Dayton Manor in Prague, of all places, which I'm still scratching my head over. And the teams are rushing the seriously injured Kid Devil off to get operated on by the chief, which should be ringing alarm bells for a few people. And so Vox, this is when Vox decides to teleport part of the Patrol off to keep on searching for the Brotherhood. So he and Bumblebee and Robot Man and Negative Man, they all take off and leave the Titans there with the rest of the team. Of course, the teens are still trying to figure out what the heck's going on and why Mal and Bumblebee look different from when they last encountered them. Meanwhile, Chief is beginning to save Kid Devil's life, and he has a really interesting conversation with Rita about basically, you know, you guys would be nothing without me. You know, you need to rely on me, and you know, you need my help all the time because basically you won't survive without me. There's more detail to it than that, but it's really creepy, a little bit unsettling.
It's patronizing and controlling.
Yes, just a bit. Of course, this is conveniently overheard by Robin, who, you know, starts realizing that not everything is as good in the Doom Patrol as Gar has been leading him to believe. We have another cutaway, and we see everyone's favorite Mento sitting in.
It is Dayton Manor.
It is, so I'm not surprised that we see him here. And Gar approaches him and says, "Look, Dad, we could really use your help with what's going on." Steve is, of course, wearing his Mento helmet, and his brain is working overtime. He's writing a 12-part novel series, a romance story about a man lost in a strange land looking for his princess. And he thinks he's doing this to please Rita, basically. And he's up to book 7 already. So he's really not cutting back. So we cut away and see Cyborg, Wonder Girl and Ravager sort of exploring the Patrol's mansion. And we see a few nice touches there that have them questioning what's up with the Doom Patrol. And there's a really interesting, I'm guessing it looks like a painting, but it appears to be an image of, I'm guessing, Jane on Danny the Street, which I thought was a really cool touch.
Yeah.
That was really nice. And again, we cut away and Kid Devil's come out of surgery. He's doing a lot better. Robin questions him about the supposed phone calls he's been having with Blue Devil, because apparently the kid's been lying about that all along. He's been telling everyone that, oh, I have to check in with Blue Devil to let him know I'm okay. And Robin's discovered the truth that Blue Devil hasn't heard for him in about 2 years and didn't even know he was still active, which was a bit strange.
Yeah.
We then have the Chief telling the teenagers that Kid Devil doesn't belong on the Titans. He'll never fit in. He'll never get accepted by society. And of course, who's going to be able to help him but the Chief? So, what a guy. It's at this point that Negative Man comes blasting through the walls and crashes back into Larry's body. And he tells the teens that, you know, they got them, the Brotherhood got them, Cliff and Mal and Kara. And there's some experiment that started and, you know, nothing ever works out right. Typical positive Larry. So the teens take off to try and rescue their friends. They're back in Paris in an underground labyrinth. They come across their friends who are all captured and strung up. And it's at this point that the Brotherhood come back and start attacking them again. And as Ravager and Wonder Girl are exploring their part of the labyrinth, they slip on some liquid and they find the Brain's robotic body crashed on the floor. And that's where all the liquid's leaked out of. And on the final page, we see a man with stitches all across his head with his hand on Mala. And he's telling them that, you know, you'll try to fight us. You'll try to stop our rampage of revenge. But you won't be able to, Titans, because love is on our side. And it can only be the Brain in a new body. Dun, dun, dun.
It's not the best looking body. It's got a bit of a bum head.
But what do you think of that issue?
It's good, good. Yeah, there's some really good callbacks to the classic Doom Patrol. I mean, you get to see the quiz in the Her outfit. As you said, Danny the Street. There's a shot of Mr. Nobody in the background.
Mm.
Yeah, and there's a bit of a Dada-esque staircase. Who's the rock thing in the with Ivy covering it?
I couldn't recall who that was or who that was meant to be. So unless it's like someone from... I thought maybe the 60s run.
Yeah, it's probably a volume one thing that we haven't got to yet.
Either that or was like, yeah, a one-shot villain that we never saw again. So, yeah, I also liked how the kids are wondering why the Chief's surgery room was hidden behind a painting. And I think it's Gar that mentions, hey, you know, don't worry about that and don't get too close because that thing almost ate an entire city. And you're like, oh, it's got to be the painting that ate Paris. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's good that the Brotherhood of Evil are there for a purpose, and that's to rehabilitate the Brain into an actual body. But we'll have to see what happens next.
Well, in the final part of the story, all hell breaks loose and the fight's in full swing. In the labyrinth, Rita bursts up from the ground and causes havoc everywhere. And it's the Titans and part of the patrol taking on the Brotherhood. The fight erupts out into the streets. And this is where we see Rita basically get pinned down by Goldilocks. And because, Goldilocks can control her hair. And it, you know, can wrap around things and grab things. And so while Rita's pinned down, she's saying to the Brain in his new body, you know, why do you and your Brotherhood spend every moment of your lives trying to get revenge on a team that doesn't even know who you really are? And this is when the Brain starts revealing part of his origin and his ties to the Chief and basically how it's the Chief's fault that the Brain ended up the way he did. And that his brain was meant to go into Robot Man's body originally. So, and there's, you know, all sorts of comments about how the Chief's responsible for the Doom Patrol being the way they are as well. So, of course, this doesn't go down well at all. So,
yeah.
And as the Brain is telling Robot Man that, you know, Monsieur Mala saved him from a horrible fate and, you know, he rescued the Brain. Just as he's continuing the monologue, he notices that his newly cloned body is starting to fall apart. And he says, my new body is dying. And Mala freaks out and says, no, this cannot happen, Master. What can I do? What can I do? The Brain responds, climb, Mala. You can climb. There's a lovely silhouette shot of Mala whisking him up the side of the Eiffel Tower. So they're at the top and the fight has subsided because the Titans and the Patrol have overcome the Brotherhood. And we cut back to Mala and the Brain at the top of the Eiffel Tower. And And the brain says, you know, there's only one option left. And Bumblebee notices that the brain's body has been thrown off the top of the tower. And Rita says, I'll catch him. And just as she catches him, she realizes that something even worse has happened. And Mala has removed the head from the body as well.
Ugh.
Yes, it's been ripped right off, as Ravager says. And this is when it gets interesting, because Robin starts quietly saying they couldn't do it. They failed. So obviously he's realized that, you know, his research is quite similar to what the Brotherhood have been trying to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, with cloning bodies and such. We cut away, and the brain and Mala are back in an undisclosed underground location again. And the Mala says, I'm sorry, Master. You know, we'll find a way. We will find a way, of course. And the brain responds with, they'll always fear us, but there is always some madness in love, and there is always some reason in madness. Do you know who said that, Mala? Of course, Master Nishi, my favorite. Mine too, Mala. The final scenes have us back at Dayton Manor, and the chief is patching up Negative Man, and he makes his offer to Kid Devil to join the team. And he says, you know, the Doom Patrol will accept you, society won't because you look like a demon, but I will accept you like a son. And this is just at the moment that everyone else gets back from the battle, and they start questioning what the chief is trying to do. And Gar and Rita pretty much call him on his actions. Gar's saying, you know, you talk to us like we're always broken. And Rita says, yes, and I'm tired of it. And at this point, Mento steps into the scene, and he's actually taken off his Mento helmet. And the chief starts panicking, says, oh, you should have taken it off. And Steve basically says, look, we've all managed to forgive you, Chief, for what you did to us in the past. But basically, if you want to stay in this team and in this house, which is my house, as a member of the patrol, you're not the leader anymore. And don't ever speak to any of us like that ever again. And the chief is slightly put off and says, I'll be in my lab if you need me. So,
yeah.
So everyone makes amends. The Titans have sort of realized that, yes, they can still work together and everyone can get along. And that's essentially where the issue wraps up, with the team sort of reconciled. And there's one final scene where Tim is in his underground lab back at Titan's Tower. And this is when Wonder Girl stumbles across it. And she's exploring it. And she catches Robin right in the middle of his rampage as he realizes that he's probably never going to be able to clone Connor, Superboy, again. And they have a very deep and meaningful chat about, you know, how they both did the best they could to try and save him. And even if he does succeed bringing Connor back, it won't be the same guy. So the issue basically closes with them sharing an awkward kiss and then going their separate ways when they realize that maybe they shouldn't have done that. So, yeah, what do you think of that one?
It's good, yeah. It's a good story. It really is a sort of... a more serious sequel to the Brain and Mala issue from Grant Morrison's run, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there's some really cool touches in it. I like that we get, I mean, of the four issues, there's two very Doom Patrol-y covers. There's one with Wonder Girl fighting the Brotherhood of Evil, and she's got the Brain's robot body over her head ready to get chucked in. And the other one has sort of like a Bohemian Rhapsody cover of all the Doom Patrol faces.
Yeah.
Staring out with Beast Boy in the middle. And it pops on the old Volume 2 logo from the Grant Morrison run in the middle. But every time they say the Doom Patrol inside the comic, they use the 60s logo in the middle of the text, which is a nice touch, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was... A really cool self-contained adventure over the four issues, and this one wrapped it up really nicely as well. And it sort of, it all made sense. It was logical, and yet, as you said, there were some really nice touches as to what's gone before. And the romance between Mala and the Brain was great to see again. And once you realize that they were trying to give the Brain his own body again, it was like, okay, that's what's going on. So. But yeah, I thought it was a great end to it and overall a really cool story. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, I think Tony Daniel does a really good job on the art. And it's clear that Geoff Johns wants to write a Doom Patrol book, but he's too busy at this point. But he really just wants to have a play with them, and which is something he did again when he was doing Justice League after the New 52.
Yes.
So,
Yes. Yeah.
Obviously a favourite of his. You know, I hope that means that other people get to write it in post-rebirth, but we'll see what happens.
Well, my hope now is that they will, as you said, with the staggered releases, they'll have maybe Rebirth Phase 2 and bring in new titles, and fingers crossed for which one we want to see, of course. So, but yeah, I forgot how much I enjoyed this story the last time I read it, and I was reading it this afternoon, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a great looking story, and yeah, it's just so much fun. It's really cool.
Yeah, definitely. We recommend it if you like the Doom Patrol and you like Geoff Johns and you like the Teen Titans.
Agreed.
Cool. Shall we get ourselves organized for the Mailbag of Doom?
Let's.
Time for the Mailbag of Doom. And this time we asked everybody, what's your favourite Geoff Johns work? Because we're talking about Geoff Johns so much in the last ep and this one.
Yep.
So anyway, we heard from Karthik Karkarella, and he said the way he left Green Lantern well after his peak there, and the times he wrote additional JL-related titles but only for a few issues. I think that's a troll answer somehow.
I don't know. Well, Wilfred told Karthik to behave after that one. But then, Karthik's next response said he said hi to Wilfred, and he said he did want Geoff Johns to write two titles monthly for reels. So I don't know how much trolling there was there.
And we heard from Alison, Alison de Hamilton, she is now, and she's at VA Gentle Nerd, and she said JSA. So
I thought about it, and I think I actually was reading JSA in single issues back before I knew who Geoff Johns was. Way back when. And I do recall enjoying that run. That was really good fun. Yeah. We heard from Mum's Read Comics, at Charming Red, and she said, the world can hate me for it, but I still say Flashpoint. It was a first step into a much larger world. And she gave us a photo of her holding up her Flashpoint series hardcover.
Wow, nice. We heard from James Kaplan at Sinister JHK, and he said he's written some excellent stuff, but I love any time he wrote and Gary Frank drew Superman. So, nice. Yep. Yeah, they did that Secret Origin series, and they did quite a good run on Superman in Action Comics, I think it was.
Cool.
Mm.
We heard from William Carpenter, at William Carpenter Jr. I think he was tagging on to Charming Red's answer, and he said his Avengers run.
Yeah, I've read some of his Avengers run.
So, I wasn't sure that Johns actually had written Avengers. I thought it might have been a joke answer. Sorry, William.
No, he did a very, probably about 20 issues over at Marvel back before he was on Green Lantern and did Rebirth and stuff like that. So, and he did, I think he did a Thing miniseries as well. So, oh, wow. I don't think he ever quite found his spot at Marvel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, clearly. Look where he is now.
Yeah. We heard from Ange, Dr. Ange.
He's the man. Ange
70 on the Twitty. And he said, Brainiac, and he rehabilitated Supergirl, brought back some Silver Age good stuff, and he had Superman acting like Superman, and he popped in a couple of covers from Action Comics with one cover and Supergirl chucking things. And, yeah, there's his Supergirl in action as part of the Brainiac finale.
Cool. We heard from Helena Wayne at Helena Wayne blog. I think Helena's a new listener, so hello and welcome. She said, I'm a fan of Geoff Johns' Justice Society work, which led to my long-term investment in the franchise, including pre-Crisis Earth 2.
Ooh, she went backwards in her fan.
Yeah. That happens to some of us. Happened to me with Doom Patrol.
We heard from Astrakis One, who's Hugh Lame Trinket Vice at the moment, so still rocking the anagrams. And he said, Justice Society, because that was a really perfect combination of legacy and moving forward with new heroes.
Cool. We also heard from Counter Druncula at Ryan Daly 01. And he said,
hey, Ryan from Secret Origins.
Yes, excellent podcast to listen to. Secret Origins podcast. Check it out if you haven't already.
And the Para Fishnets and Give Me Those Star Wars. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Busy man.
Yeah, he does a few podcasts.
Ryan said his Green Lantern run from Rebirth to the Sinestro Corps War.
Yeah.
Good choice. Yes.
We have from codename Greg A, who's Greg Garujo, I believe, at Garujo1. And he said, I probably like his work on Stars and Stripes best. It's a lot more fun than his later work. Yep. Less body count in those, I think. Fair to say. And then he went on to add, once John's tried to explain away Hal's grey hair as an effect of parallax, I was done with him. Ooh. So, yes, there was where parallax caused Hal to have grey hair. That was part of the infection.
Yeah. So, don't know if I agree with that, but everyone's got an opinion. It's all.
I wasn't done.
We heard from Amarski! Exclamation point, who is at OJ666 on the Twitters. I think another new listener or new reply. So hello and welcome. And Amarski said Green Lantern or Aquaman. And also that Possessed series he did with Liam Sharp was pretty underrated too. I hadn't heard of that.
I remember it, never read it. I think it was a 6-issue Wildstorm miniseries, I think.
Okay, cool.
But it was creator owned, so.
Right. Cool. Thanks, Amarski.
Yeah. We heard from Chris Hogan, who's at Unlikely Nerd, a good friend of the show. And he said, Green Lantern, of course. Did he write other stuff? I wasn't aware. P.S. I was also a fan of his Aquaman run.
We heard from Daniel Adkins, at Daniel Adkins PRD. Again, I think another new listener or replier. So hello again. And he said either New 52 Shazam or the 2003 Teen Titans. So
hey, that's what we're just looking at.
That's right. Well, good choice. And I did enjoy the Shazam stuff he wrote as the backups in Justice League as well. That was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've got a good hardcover of that. And I do think it's one of the best things he's done for probably in the New 52.
Yeah.
Yeah. We heard from Moby One, our friend at Moby One. And he said, JSA, but I really like Blackest Night and collaborations with Gary Frank. Another mention for Gary Frank and the Superman stuff. Mm. We'll always be grateful for him bringing back Hal and especially Barry. Mm. Someone's a Silver Age fan.
Another new listener / replier, Birds of Prey podcast at Feathers and Foes on Twitter. And they said, I love his work on JSA. The fluidity of the narrative made me fall in love with characters that I was unfamiliar with. I think that was the same effect it had on me as well. I was kind of aware of those older legacy characters. And yeah, it was a really fun read. Yeah.
Feather and Foes does a great podcast. That Birds of Prey podcast is really good. And it's a real different voice in the podcasting community on DC Comics. It's good to hear. Yeah. We heard from Batlu, who's at The Luscious Lou, L-E-W. And he said, Teen Titans, he's brilliant. And that was a hard decision to work out which one was his best.
Alias Saul Bishop at Arch Enemy Comics said JSA. He really came into his own on that series.
We heard from Steve T-Shirt Meter at D Park Met, and he said he was the first person to make JSA really pop in a long time.
Yeah, lots of love for the JSA tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Richie O'Hara B-Man at Rickety OB. He said, I suspect it's a popular call, but Green Lantern Rebirth to Sinestro Corps War was consistently awesome, and I loved his Booster Gold series.
Ooh, someone remembered Booster Gold. We have from Comics Couplets, another new one, I think, at Comics Couplets. And they said, the first 4 years of JSA produced some damn fine comics. Yeah, cool. Agreed.
Yep. Firestorm Fan, at Firestorm Fan.
Shaq!
Shaq. He said, favorite Geoff Johns work, definitely JSA, first volume, not his Justice Society of America, second volume. Okay.
Yeah, I agree. The first volume is better than the second.
Okay, cool.
Hmm. Yeah. Keith G. Baker at TKG Bunk. He said, the New 52, of course. Just kidding. His work on The Flash was good, and I loved Stars and Stripes. But JSA, his first series, was phenomenal. So bit of a mention for The Flash. No one's really been talking about The Flash much. And he also said, would have bet folding money that you'd have said his leadership in establishing the New 52 and you, Shag. So, no, I don't think anyone would say that.
Right. What about you, Paul? What's your favourite work from Mr. Geoff Johns?
He did a series in Adventure Comics, which was Superboy-focused, and it had gorgeous Francis Manapul art, and they collected that in a single hardcover or trade, and I loved it. It was called Boy of Steel. And it was really good. It was sort of, you know, the jacket wearing Superboy versus Lex Luthor. And
wow.
Yeah, it's a really good run and some really great character work on Lex Luthor and on Superboy. And the art is just fantastic. Oh,
I love a bit of Manipal's art. It's so cool. Yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
For me, it would have to be Green Lantern Rebirth because I got that in the collected trade paperback after I'd had a bit of a break from comics and I was looking for stuff to get back into, and I had a bit of a flick through it and the art was great and it seemed to be a really cool retelling and reestablishing. And I think I read that thing like within, you know, one sitting nonstop, and just that got me back properly into DC Comics, and I'll always be appreciative of that. So I really enjoyed, yeah, Lantern Rebirth. It was great stuff.
Yeah, and of course we look forward to more Geoff Johns stuff, and we're hoping we get some good stuff from him in Rebirth.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's it for the show. So if you want to get in touch with us, don't forget you can get in touch on Twitter via at WFDpod, and there's the email, waitingfordoom@gmail.com. We'd love to get the emails. Mm-hmm. The Facebook page, and next week I think we're going to head back to Volume 2, the Kupperberg-Larsen era, and do Issues 11 and 12. And the question of the week for next week is, what's the best evil organization?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of just comic ones because I can think of real world ones too easily. But anyway.
ISIS.
Yes. Them too. Yes. Okay, guys. Thanks very much for joining us again for Waiting for Doom. And we'll talk to you again next week.
See ya.